Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The summer down under continues. Welcome to TC Live, leading you up to live tennis, top of the hour from Auckland. Guess what? We are just 3 days away from the start of the Australian Open. The excitement is palpable. Here's what's coming up on the show. Tommy Paul could become the top-ranked American man in the world with a title this week. See how last year's AO semifinalist kicked off his season in Adelaide. Plus, Jesse Pegula hoping to get back to the top spot as well. After three straight trips to the quarterfinals in Melbourne, will Pegula power past the Elite Eight? And Naomi Osaka is back in the draw, but it's what she's drawing off the court that has our attention. TC Live enters the metaverse later in the show. We've got you covered for at least the next 14 hours on Tennis Channel T2 and TC Plus. Take a look at our featured matches. Ben Shelton, Sebi Korda, Emma Navarro, Jesse Pegula, and Tommy Paul all in action tonight. Wow, just three sleeps away from the AO, and all those players are still getting their reps in. Cannot wait to see those matches. Steve Weissman back alongside Monica Puig. John Wertheim over on the big screen. Last TC Live before he flies to LA and then joins us for 15 straight for the Australian Open. But taking a look at that big board, all those big names, have you ever seen something like that just 3 days before a major?
Honestly, never. Usually these bigger players who are in the top of the rankings, they're already in Melbourne trying to relax a little bit until the first major's underway. But this is the first time I've seen draws so stacked. And, you know, a little bit of extra reps never hurts. It actually helps.
So many other sports. Hey, how do we get fans to care before the big events start? Tennis comes in hot. We get a major starting less than 2 weeks into the year. And then, as Monica says, this week you've got draws that were absolutely stacked. Top five players, singles, doubles, a lot of tennis for a week right before a major starts.
All right, let's kick off the show. A couple of guys who had a great run in Melbourne last year. Tommy Paul actually stayed home in Florida a bit longer this offseason. Just got over to Australia for his warm-up event in Adelaide. And John had no rust against Alex Bolt.
No, you like to kick off your season against a guy ranked 311 spots below you, which was the case today for Tommy Paul against a wild card in Bolt. And for a guy who's defending semifinal points, got off to a very nice Australia campaign. Very little trouble today. 11 aces, that's a big number for Tommy Paul, especially considering he only had 9 service games. Very little went wrong for him today. He won points at the net. He was better off the baseline, sort of eased into the season with a very comfortable 6-3, 6-2 win over a player who, again, was here on a wild card. Tommy Paul could be the top American after this event.
He's the top seed, 25 winners, and gets a rematch with Jack Draper in the next round.
Couldn't ask for a better start. Thought I played a really clean match. He's a tough guy to play against. I mean, super, super tricky with the lefty serve, and had to come out sharp, and I thought I did a good job. We definitely worked really hard over the last couple months, so I'm really excited to get the season started. You know, it's hard to really recreate the feelings that you get when you're in a tournament, so I'm excited to be back out here.
Meantime, after an early loss in Brisbane, Sebi Korda going for his first win of the season against Lorenzo Sonego, John.
Remember, this is the sight of Korda a year ago having championship point against Novak Djokovic. Couldn't quite convert, but if we're talking about exercising bad memories, today was a good one for him because he was 1-3 against Sonego for his career and was just the better player, trying to win his first match of the year, and spoiler, he did. 91% of his first serve points won. He won at the net. Here's a second set tiebreak. This is a nice shot to hit when you're a couple of points from perhaps having to go to a third set. We're getting the full Korda here. We know about the power. There's athleticism. There's such. Watch this. This little topspin lob to the backhand side to set up match point against a class opponent, serves it out, and Sebi Korda on the board for 2024. Very nice win today.
He saved 5 set points in that second set, converted 3 of 4 break points, moves on to the quarterfinals. Let's take a look at this draw. And there are some big names here as well. The 2 seed and the 1 seed advancing Nico Jarry and Tommy Paul. That rematch with Jack Draper we mentioned. Bublik taking on Musetti. And then Korda gets O'Connell next. Remember, Sevi Korda is still just 23 years old. He can actually get back to his career high of 23 in the world if he takes the title this week in Adelaide. If he stays healthy all year, Monica, what are some realistic goals that he can accomplish?
I mean, the sky is the limit, especially for the young guns in the sport. We've seen how Carlos Alcaraz has really elevated his game, winning Grand Slams, already number one in the world at one point. So it's all about the belief, and I've always liked Sevi Korda. I love the way that he goes about his business on the court, has a great attitude, is always aggressive, always moving his feet, just a very professional player. And I mean, his family is full of world-class athletes, so he has some great examples that he can draw from. And I think, you know, they're all working together, all supporting each other, so that's a great dynamic that they have going on.
You know, for some players, there's a range of opinion. What is the ceiling? What's realistic? I think with Korda, there's a lot of consensus in tennis, but those four words you said, Steve, if he stays healthy, that has sort of been a subtext to his career. When he's fully durable and when he can play at full physical presence, he's as good as anyone out there. He could be the top American very easily, but he just needs to stay healthy and stay fit.
Made the quarterfinals in Melbourne last year, and this is a guy who has won the juniors in Australia. Like you meant, every member of his family has won a title in Australia. It's pretty impressive stuff.
I mean, it just runs in the family, and obviously he's had the good results in Australia, so why not, you know, defend the points, maybe go one further? I mean, again, health is wealth.
Absolutely, health is wealth. Love to hear that. Keeping it in Adelaide for the ladies. And we start with the All-American matchup, Jesse Pegula and Bernarda Parra. It was Parra, Monica, that came out firing.
Parra is the type of player who is extremely tricky to play. She really elevated her level in this first set against Pegula, destroyed Pegula mentally. We saw Pegula very frustrated, didn't really look her best. She kind of looked sluggish out there. And Parra really took it to her in that first set. But Pegula is top five for a reason. And the top five know how to dig deep when things aren't going their way, and Pegula did just that. She kept her head down, really fought, started to do a lot better with her footwork, started to improve her shot selection. She was actually up quite easily in this third set. Pegula and Parra just started to show some of that good stuff that she did in that first set, but ultimately Pegula comes through with the win when she wasn't playing her best, which is incredibly important at any level.
Just 1 for 10 on break points in the first set, but converted 5 in the next 2, added 7 aces, and moves on to the quarterfinals. Taylor Townsend doing double duty again. She won in doubles to reach the semis and playing Marta Kostyuk in singles. Both players really attacking the net in this one, Monica.
Yeah, we remember that Townsend got into the tournament as a lucky loser. She was on the massage table and suddenly had to go out and play, wins her first round. But here, Kostyuk was just too good in that first set. She, like you said, attacking the net with some flair. But Taylor Townsend, do not count her out, because she will give you a fight, and that's what she has shown recently with her level, with her game. She believes that she should be there with the best, and honestly, she can. She is an incredibly tricky player, especially with that lefty spin, and she's very feisty. But Kostyuk there in that third got out to an early lead. Taylor Townsend trying to come in here to the net, but it was shots like these that Marta Kostyuk was suddenly running away with the third. But Taylor Townsend says hello, but Kostyuk ultimately says goodbye and wins it in 3.
Yeah, Townsend created 20 break points in the match, can be pleased with that, but only saved 1 of the 7 that she faced. Don't look now, but Yelena Ostapenko is about to be back inside the top 10. The former Roland Garros champ heading into Melbourne on fire, John, really out-hit Caroline Garcia yesterday.
Yep, that's from the Latvian Asta for power and Penko for erratic. But boy, when she plays so well, she stays out of the corners, moves her opponent around. Caroline Garcia was a top 4 seed at the Australian Open last year. This is a quality opponent here in the near court. After losing the first set, Garcia got back into it. 15 aces on the day. Very nice serving match. But Ostapenko just too much into the third. And there were winners off both sides. She picked up her returning. Again, we talk about Ostapenko. We talk sort of about she's quirky, she's erratic. There's a lot of self-belief, but she is getting it done. 5 years out of the top 10, and when the rankings come out Monday, as you say, Steve, she will be back. Nice momentum heading into Australia. Nice
quality win today.
Back-to-back quarterfinals to start her season. Four out of the five matches she's played so far have gone three sets, and she has been able to come out on top in most of those. Gets Marta Kostyuk next. Kazatkina still in the draw against Sigemund. Pegula will take on Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. And then Elena Rybakina, big threat to win the Australian Open. She's still there as the top seed as well. But let's talk about Ostapenko a little bit. John mentioned it. Going to be back inside the top 10 on Monday. In fact, listen, she made the quarterfinals in Melbourne last year. How big of a threat do you think she is come next week?
I think she's one of the biggest threats in the draw. And listen, I've been on the receiving end of Ostapenko at her best. I played her in the first round of the French Open when she won that title, and she was spot on all sides of the court. Sometimes we talk about we don't know which Ostapenko is going to come on the court, but she is proving since last year and this year that her game is starting to get a little bit sharper. I mean, she has that feistiness. She wants to win. She wants to prove that she can get back to the top of the game like she was a few years ago. And she's doing the right thing so far.
And Josh, she's dangerous on every single surface. I mean, she's made at least the quarterfinals at every major. Yep.
Previous major, she beat the top seed. She beat Iga Świątek at the U.S. Open. Of course, the match after that, true to form, typical Ostapenko, she barely lasted an hour against Coco, but no, she can play on every surface. She can play every style. Some players give her matchup problems fine, but can we all agree tennis is better for erratic players? I mean, shouldn't we all kind of like that they're dangerous players and we throw up our hands and we're not sure which one will show up? But good for her. I mean, we're more than a half decade past her one major. She's still in the top 10. I give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, and it's not as much of a roller coaster as we may think. I mean, every single year other than 2020, she's been in the top 30. Now she's going to be back inside the top 10, but she's been fairly consistent and now right up there with the best in the world. A lot more still to come here on TC Live. More highlights from all across the warm-ups to Australia. We are leading up to live tennis top of the hour. And guess what? It's been 4 years since Sofia Kenin won the Aussie Open. We'll see how her preparations are going for another title down under.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Back on TC Live, coming up top of the hour, Monica and Chanda Rubin on the call for this one. Taro Daniel, first Japanese quarterfinalist in the tournament's 56-year open-era history, looking to get to the semis. As we go back to Hobart, former NCAA champ Emma Navarro continues to shine as the 2-seed John. Another routine performance for the former Wahoo.
Yep, we were talking about this yesterday. You want a nice encapsulation of Emma Navarro's rise? At the U.S. Open, she lost in three sets to whom? To this opponent, to Maggie Fresh in a three-setter. And today, Creme Fresh, just a few months later, 6-3, 6-3. Nothing spectacular, but typical Emma Navarro, right? One ace, 4 points, one at the net. You look at the stat sheet, it's nothing outrageous. Just steady, controlled, consistent tennis. Nice shot-making up there, very little trouble today. And boy, Emma Navarro is just winning match after match. Will be seeded in Australia and may end up coming home with a top 20 ranking. Can you believe that? Very impressive. Nice win.
Now up to a career high 30 in the live rankings is Emma Navarro into the quarterfinals. What about the 2020 Aussie Open champ Sofia Kenin, Monica, facing Daria Saville? Not sure if this is a career high, but Saville had 13 aces in this match.
And Kenin was 2 points away from winning this first set twice. But Daria Saville coming back from an ACL injury, actually two ACL injuries, and she is just looking better than ever, has really worked on her fitness, taken the time to improve her tennis as well. We're always loved to see her and her TikTok videos all over the place, but it's her tennis that's doing the talking
Tofu
this
sausage.
Week. Tofu sausage. Her dog is definitely cheering her on, that's for sure.
It is a good TikTok. Highly recommend Daria Saville, one of the best on social media, I would say, for the WTA.
Absolutely.
Gets the win against Kenin, moves into the quarterfinals. Putintseva in there as well. Tomova up next for Emma Navarro. Alisa Mertens is your top seed. She's already won this title two times, looking for the three-peat in Hobart. Well, a couple of firsts for Ben Shelton in Auckland. We will tell you what the young American had never done before. and what's next for Benny Schelts. Big match coming up, top of the hour, quarterfinals at the ASB Classic. Alexander Mueller trying to become the first qualifier in the semis there since Yuri Vesely won the title back in 2015, taking on Taro Daniel. Well, yesterday was the former world number six, Felix Auger-Aliassime, playing his first singles match of the year, taking on German Daniel Altmaier, Monica. Both guys had chances in this first set.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Altmaier got down to probably the worst start you could possibly imagine versus a player who was seemingly doing everything right. But it's Auger-Aliassime that started to rack up some of those unforced errors and sometimes tries to do a little too much, tries a little bit too hard, and that ends up working against him. A lot of unforced errors off the forehand like this, but it was Altmaier who just hung in there, hung in tough, and waited for his opportunities. He was scrambling around all of the court and produced some beautiful backhands with that one-hander. And I'll tell you, this last game, he just elevated the intensity just enough to find that break of serve. And he, wow, that was an impressive win for him.
FAA won Basel late last year, struggled for much of the season. Hope to see him at his best in Melbourne. How about American Ben Shelton, top seed for the first time in his career, also looking for his first win of the season, John?
Top seed at an event. Tells you something about his ascent. Is that Rick Whitson's nephew, Ben Shelton? Why, yes, it is. And for a guy who is now really a contender at majors, not just at events preceding majors, he acquitted himself well. You see the full crowd always draws well in Auckland and had very little trouble today. Morojan, this is a guy who beat Alcaraz. He beat Monfils here the other day, but didn't have much resistance for Shelton. Got breaks in each set. 10 aces, got up to 147 on the gun, and this is becoming, this is sort of the next step in the development, right? Of just having routine win after routine win. We got that today. Some nice shot making, nice athleticism from Shelton here. Look, using all the court here. That is the way to close on the net. Very nice, fun match, which is what we've come to expect from Ben Shelton. He advances.
30 winners gets Roberto Carballes Baena next. Love that energy from Ben Shelton heading into Melbourne. Taking a look at qualies right now at the Australian Open. Zach Svida gets a nice three-set win. Katie Vollinets, bottom right, is into the final round of qualies. Everybody else into round two. Anything else stand out to you, Monica?
I'm kind of sad that Brandon Nakashima lost already. I mean, he has been such a solid player for so many years, and oh, that's a heartbreaker. But Maxime Cressy, you just want to see him continue to do well because he had a great, you know, couple of years. And all of a sudden just dropped a little bit in the rankings, but good to see him get those wins.
I'd like to see Haley Baptiste and Ann Lee getting wins as well. As we enter the social net, Naomi Osaka releasing a set of five new avatars that she designed herself. She hand-drew each one. They reflect her personal style, John. What do you think of the avatars?
All right. I thought it was her sister Mary, who was the artist in the family. That's pretty cool. Is this, I'm boomering myself here. Is this like NFT adjacent? What's, where are those avatars going?
These go
profile pics.
These go in the Meta Avatar store where you can, you know,
of
wear
course
the same outfits for you. Monica, would you pick out any of these fashion staples?
I think the one with the jeans and the white t-shirt, you know, that's a little bit more my speed, but what John said, I thought that this was more her sister, who is the fashion designer / sketcher in the family, but trying something different as well.
Naomi does it all. I'm waiting for the Wertheim avatars to come out.
What about yours?
Yeah.
I exactly.
Art Minor in Northwestern.
But the one in the middle is you.
There we go. Good stuff, Naomi. We love to see that. Looking forward to seeing her in action in Melbourne. Speaking of the Australian Open, Casper Ruud, you know, he's a man of the people. The 424 ball kids, a big ceremony there where they all hit, launch balls into the sky, or I guess they just throw them up. Casper catches his. The other kids don't, but that's great to see. A lot of love for the ball kids, Monica. They do their work and sometimes not appreciate it.
Hey, they're standing out there in the heat while we're running around, and they just have to stand there. It is kind of tough, and maybe, you know, I hope we're entertaining enough, because sometimes our matches can be boring, and they're just there like, oh, well, you know. But it's always fun to see the players interacting with them and, you know, giving back a little bit.
Okay. Can we talk about the unforced error right there? we got a few more days to improve on your catching, but good for Casper. Nice gesture. I love the
for Legion hats, but note how many balls do not get caught. Guys, you got 4 days to pick up your game there.
The 424, best of the best, John. Do it for the kids. It's all good. Cannot wait to see them in action on court. This is what's coming up Thursday's schedule. TC Live, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Monica, you're deserting us tomorrow, I hear. Chanda Rubin is back on the show.
I heard you didn't want me around.
That is lies. Fake news.
Gotta go.
John's on a plane coming to L.A. But Jimmy Arias, Chanda Rubin on TC Live tomorrow. Monica will be back on Friday. John on Saturday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back. It is a big night on T2 with Second Serve, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Nick Monroe continues to bring in the big names. We got actor Boris Kodjo in studio tonight, plus J.J. Wolf, Kamau Murray, and more. Jeff Chisver, Jimmy Arias join Nick on T2. That is tonight for Second Serve. And we are just three sleeps away from the year's first major in TC Live, your only two-hour pregame show every single day. Starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, leading up to first ball in Melbourne, myself, John Wertheim, joined by a trio of Hall of Famers, Martina Navratilova, Lindsay Davenport, Jim Courier. You won't find that many Hall of Famers on any other tennis broadcast. A lot of guests, highlights, predictions, and fun. Cannot wait to get going on Saturday. Taking a look at our featured matches tonight. They're going to have a lot of hot shots. We'll see if they can beat this one, Monica.
Yeah, this one is Sonego just leaves her camera for a split second and all of a sudden produces a passing shot that has a little Karate Kid wax on, wax off flare right there.
That's good stuff.
I mean, it's like, where did he go? Straight to the back of the court to hit a passing shot. He couldn't have made it easier on himself. Nope. I'm good.
That one has to be like 100 miles an hour, too. We'll see what kind of hot shots we get from this group. A lot of potential. Which match, John, are you most looking forward to?
Oh, man. How about the second to last from the bottom, Pavs against Pegula? Two players. They've only played once before, but nice little contrast in styles. And then how about Tommy Paul against Draper again? A repeat of last year. And Draper won that one.
Yeah, let's start with that Pegula-Pavlyuchenkova matchup. Listen, Pavlyuchenkova's been to a final of a major before. That's something Jesse would like to do. Jesse ranked a lot higher. What's going to make the difference in this match?
I think it's pretty much how Pegula comes out to play. She was very slow yesterday. Maybe, you know, took some time to work off that rust. She played United Cup. Like we said, not a real tournament event. So, you know, now the pressure starts to set in. And like we said, three quarterfinals. Can she get past it in Melbourne? There's a little bit of pressure. But Pavlyuchenkova is that type of player that you do not want to see on your side of the draw unseeded because you can't even face her in the first round of a slam. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that could be tough, John. What's the biggest thing that Pegula has to do tonight to get the victory?
Yeah, I think get through some of these surges. You know, one of these players has been to a major final, and it's not Jesse Pegula. One thing to look for, Jesse spent 2 hours and 12 minutes on court at this event. Pavs is over 6 hours. So fatigue may play a part, and that would benefit the American.
Speaking of Americans, Ben Shelton, top seed for the first time in his life, backed it up yesterday, looking really good. Today gets Roberto Carbajas Baena. Shelton has never lost to anyone ranked outside the top 50 since August. 9-0 against those players. So already at 21 years old, he just kind of takes care of business.
Yeah, that's kind of the mentality once you start racking up those wins, once you start becoming a force to be reckoned with on the tour. Your level's there, and you're just starting to show it consistently. I had a little paper that showed the conversion between kilometers per hour to miles per hour, and he surpassed that last number on the paper. I'm going to need a little paper update because he's just serving some absolute bombs.
What was the number? How was it?
It was 145.
And if he went
147, then it's time to update the paper. Yeah. Ben Shelton,
then you got to Google that.
Yeah.
Research. No, I think Carbajal Spana, Monica, you called the match against Bautista Agut. So he plays his friend, 35-year-old Spaniard, baseliner, and then to go from that match to playing Shelton. Young guy, doesn't know much about him, big serve, totally different type of player, totally different relationship. I think sometimes in tennis we forget the versatility players need one day to the next, and I think this is an example of that.
Speaking of versatility, Tommy Paul taking on Jack Draper after getting a nice win yesterday. Listen, Tommy knows I played Jack at this event last year. I lost to him last year. What is that like for a player when you want that revenge?
Obviously, it's a little bit more incentive to come out onto the court and say, I want to get this win. But the Tommy Paul of the beginning of last year is not the Tommy Paul that we're seeing lately. And I've grown up with Tommy. I've seen him through all these different phases. He is focused. He is hungry. Physically, he is super fit. He's putting in the hard work, like he said in that on-court interview. I've worked incredibly hard, and I think he deserves this moment, and he deserves to be where he is today.
John?
Yeah. I also don't know. I mean, to what extent, and Monica, you know this, I mean, to what extent does it get with a player and get in their head that they've got to defend an awful lot of points at the next big event? Is that at all figuring into Tommy's game plan? I used to play a nice, tough lefty kid. Again, they've got some history last year. I think Tommy ought to get through this, but what is it like 1 week out having to defend all of those points at a major pretty soon?
I mean, for me, I would definitely be nervous. I would be thinking about it, but if he plays exactly the way that he played in his first round, which it showed no signs that he's thinking about it, he's just, it seemed to me, going match per match and just relying on the work that he's put in with his team. And he has that kind of mentality that he's just goes out there, does what he needs to do, and off the court he goes. So, I don't know. Every player is different. So, let's see. My mentality is probably not the same as his. So, you know, all the best to him.
You know, Paul Anakin always says, it's not about defending. It's about the opportunity to gain, right?
Yeah.
He's got a big opportunity.
You start from zero every year.
That's right. That's right. He's looking to add points like on that. This year. He's looking to get one like step that. Further. Maybe make the final at a major. Change your perspective. Change your life. Taro Daniel walking out onto the court. Looking forward to hearing the call. Monica Puig on with Chanda Rubin following a quick break. TC Live back with you tomorrow. Just 3 days away from the start of the Australian Open. You'll see Ben Shelton in action later tonight, Jesse Pegula in more. Keep it locked on Tennis Channel.